In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Stretch out my hands to you.
My soul thirsts for you like a parched land.
Teach me to do your will, for you are my God.
Let your good spirit lead me on level ground.
For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life.
In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble.
Amen.
be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Dispel from us the works of darkness and grant us to live in the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, that our faith may never be found wanting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second to last Sunday before Advent is from the book of the prophet Zephaniah, the first chapter. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. And on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day, I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traders are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. All that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their gods will be plundered, their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they will not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud. There, a day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us.
Yes, establish the work of our hands.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place
in all generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, you had formed the earth and the world.
From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You return man to dust,
and say, return, O children of man.
For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past.
Or as a wash in the night.
You sweep them away as with a flood.
They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning.
In the morning it flourishes and is renewed.
In the evening it fades and withers.
But we are brought to an end by your anger.
By your wrath we are dismayed.
You have set our iniquities before you,
our secret sins in the light of your presence.
For all our days pass away from under your wrath.
We bring our years to an end like a sigh.
The years of our life are 70, or even a reason of strength, 80.
Yet this hand is our toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away.
Who considers the power of your anger?
And your wrath according to the fear of you.
So teach us to number our days,
that we may have a heart of wisdom. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now,
Let the fervor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us.
Yes, establish the work of our hands.
The reading from the letters of St. Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, the fifth chapter. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father.
from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, "It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them." This is our text. It is simply the reality of life for every human being. All of us are accountable to other people. Someone else, someone besides yourself, has an interest in what you do and in how you handle yourself. We must all give an account. We must give an account of our time and our work. We must give an account for our words and our deeds. In your life, who is it that holds you accountable? Is it your boss and your direct report? Or your spouse, a parent, a teacher, a coach, your pastor, maybe an extended friend, a friend or an extended family member who holds you to account for the things you do and say? These conversations may be things that we dread or avoid, or perhaps we approach them gladly and cheerfully as we offer an account of ourselves. Today's parable portrays Jesus as our direct report, the master to whom we will give an account when he comes again. He is our highest Lord, our highest master. As it says in Psalm 100, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his."
Amen.
We belong to him with our bodies and souls and all we have and all we are. And then the psalm invites us, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." At this season of the church year, we are nearing the very last Sunday, which will be next Sunday, and in view we have Christ's return. We know that Christ is going to return soon, and when he comes, we don't know the day or the hour, but it will be a surprise, a beautiful and wonderful surprise. And when Christ returns, this parable is teaching us that we will be called to give an account of ourselves to the Master. Because we are servants who have been entrusted with much. And so we are to live now as those who are entrusted with much, awaiting that day that we do not know when it will come. But it is not unforeseen. Jesus has promised, "I am coming soon." Of what then are we stewards? What has been entrusted to us? In the parable, the word that's used is the word talent, and we immediately turn to thinking about our own skills and abilities. The talents, I suppose, like everything that ranges from playing a musical instrument to being able to juggle. That's not what it means here. The word talent is a unit of money, a very large unit and measure of money. So the way it is this. This master, as he is going away, takes the thing that is most valuable to him, the thing that is his most precious possession, and he entrusts that to his servants. The first thing that might be a surprise is that the master would be willing to do this at all. If I were the master, I suppose I might take my most treasured possession and put it away in a lockbox somewhere under safekeeping, where no one can touch it, no one can get to it. But instead, this master is generous and extravagant, and he takes his most precious possession and he puts it in the hands of his servants, and he invites them to use it and not to hide it. We would never be so risky with our treasures, but God is. And what is the treasure that is most precious to our Lord? What is the thing that is the highest and greatest possession that he has? But his word, his holy and precious word. God's word is the most valuable thing in the kingdom of God, because it is through God's word that we know Christ Jesus as our Savior. It is through God's word that we hear how God's Son became man and died on the cross to pay for your sins and for mine and for the sins of the world. In his word, you hear of Christ's marvelous and glorious resurrection from the dead, how he appeared to his disciples alive with life for you and me. It is through the word that we are made new creatures in holy baptism. And it is through the word that this bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ for us. The most valuable thing, the most precious treasure that our Lord has, the most precious treasure that he has is this word that he gives to us, because in his word our sins are forgiven and we have everlasting life. And this word he has entrusted to his people. This is the thing. He has placed into our hands and into our mouths the thing that is most holy and most precious and most valuable in God's entire kingdom. He has given us his word. His word for me as pastor to preach and teach faithfully, and for you as a Christian to share with others, to give to them. He has put this gospel into our hands, and he has given us time, and he has given us relationships with other people. So one of the things I want you to be thinking of today is, who are the people and what are the times where God gives me an opportunity to share this precious treasure and to put it to use? There are two other things that struck me about what we are being stewards of. When our Lord gives, when the Master gives to his servants, he does not give to all of them the same amount. To one he gives 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, and it says, each according to his ability. And I find those words to be so precious. Our God does not give us a gift greater than we can handle. He does not give a gift to us that is beyond our ability to use. He knows us, each individually and personally, and he knows what we are able to do. And he does not expect more than what we are capable of, but he does expect what we are able to do. The other thing is that the master does not demand a certain amount back. He doesn't say to the guy with 5 talents, here's 5 talents, you better get 5 talents more. He doesn't say, here are 2 talents, you better bring back 2 more. He simply gives it generously and freely, pouring out his grace, expecting them to live in and enjoy and treasure the grace that he has given. And so also for us. Our Lord is generous. He pours out his grace on us. How often, Sunday after Sunday, our sins forgiven, the body and blood of Christ being given to us again, his holy word being placed into our ears, our Lord is not stingy. He gives us such an extravagant wealth of Christ and grace and forgiveness, way beyond what we deserve. But not, he knows, beyond what we are able to use. And so these servants are sent out as the master goes away with this beloved treasure. And think about it, with the gospel does not come as something that we have to struggle over what to do with. When the gospel comes and we know that our Lord loves us, not because we've been great or amazing or wonderful, but for Christ's sake, don't you want to share it? Don't you want others to know? I know there are times we may be nervous about sharing our faith, situations that we may be reticent to speak. But don't be afraid. You have the most precious treasure in the entire kingdom of God in your hands to give to others and to share with them. And so think about what happens. This master is so generous with them. He doesn't give them more than they can handle, doesn't give them what is beyond their power, and he doesn't burden them with a specific demand. He simply says, here it is, make use of it. And then he's going to call them to account. He's going to call them to speak of what they've done and how they've used it. And I can tell you this. When I think about the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ and my master coming and asking me, what did you do with this? My heart wants to be able to overflow with sharing with him the good news of what of those who have heard and those with whom I have shared his message. It is not a burden when our Lord asks us, what have you done with the gospel I've given to you? It is an opportunity for joy to share with others and then to report to our Lord what we have done. And think about the man with 5 talents. What does he do? Immediately he goes out. Immediately, it says, he goes out and he puts those talents to use so that he has 5 talents more. He doesn't wait. He doesn't hide it. He isn't shy or reticent about speaking, but he shares what is given to him. And so also with a man who's been given less, but has 2 talents. And then there's the man who's been given 1. And you'll notice the difference between these servants. The servant who's been given 5 and the servant who's been given 2, they don't think of their master as a hard man. They don't think of their master as a man who is going to come with fire and brimstone and breathe down their neck and demand more than they've done. There's a joy about what they do, a joy about how they live, a joy about the talents they've been given. But the man with the 1 talent is very different. What did he say about his master? I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow and harvesting where you didn't plant. I knew that you were a hard man, and because you're such a hard man, I decided I'm just going to hold on to this and bury it. And here it is. Hard man, you can have it back. The master is not a hard man. It is the servant who has a hard heart. A heart that does not believe the grace of God. That does not trust what God has given. And here we see what we call a sin, not of commission, of committing a wrong, but a sin of omission. A man who did not do what he should have done. Those are harder to see in our own lives. The opportunities we missed, the place we could have spoken, the thing we could have done and we didn't, and yet that too is sin. And it wasn't that he lacked effort, it wasn't that he lacked ideas, it was that he was worried to lose what was placed into his hands, and he did not believe in the graciousness of his master. Our Lord is coming, and he has well supplied you with the abundance of his grace. That is the currency of your life. It is his grace that is the currency that we have to use and to spend and to give. The man with the 1 talent blames the master. He calls the master cruel and hard, and he says, it's your fault that I didn't do more with it. How hard is the master? He is as hard as love is hard. As hard as grace is hard. He is as hard as beauty and joy and goodness. 2 of the servants know their master well. They saw him as one who is willing to take a risk, as one who is lavish with his gifts, generous and trusting. And so they use his gifts the same way, lavishly and generously and in a trusting fashion. They act in faith. They are not jealously guarding what's been given to them, but they are taking what's been entrusted and putting it to use, just as their master had done. But the other one does not know his master at all. In fear, he buries that treasure in his backyard. Instead of faith, his life is shaped by those fears and those resentments, and you can hear it in the words that he says, you are a hard man. Dear friends in Christ, we have a master who loves us. We have a master who would entrust not just little things with us, but the thing that is most precious of all, his own life, his own body and blood, his forgiveness of sins he has entrusted to us. He is not a hard man, but he is lavish and he is generous and he loves us dearly and deeply. And consider your Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not the sort of man who took what he had or what was given to him and buried it or hid it in a corner. He took what was given to him and he used it fully and freely and lavishly and extravagantly, and he did it for you and for me. Our Lord hid nothing of what was given to him, but he put all of it there on the cross for your redemption and for mine. That last servant is a servant that we might consider one who struggles with what's called the sin of acedia. It's the sin of slothfulness, but not just laziness. It is a sin of indifference and apathy. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about the treasure he's been given. He doesn't care what that treasure is for. He would rather see it buried and hidden than sent out and used. Dear friends, it can be a danger for us as Christians to be indifferent and apathetic about what God has given us, or to think about the treasure of the gospel as something that is ours to have, but not so much ours to share. Look for opportunities. Seek for ways. Know that the Master is generous with you and that he loves you, and he has not set you up to fail, but he has set you up to be his steward and his servant, taking what he's given you and using it for the sake of others. And you'll be amazed when you take those opportunities to speak Christ's gospel to others. Sometimes it might be a door slammed in the face. Sometimes it might be someone who mocks you. But sometimes it will be one who hears and believes and who wants to know more. I heard a story recently about a pastor. A couple came to him to be married, and one of them was a Jewish woman. And the pastor said from the scriptures, "I cannot marry a Christian and a Jewish woman because you cannot be unequally yoked." And so this pastor said, "But I would be glad to sit down and talk with you about the Christian faith." And so over a series of weeks, he taught from the Old Testament all of the prophecies about Christ. And by the fourth or fifth week, the woman said, "You know what? I get it. I believe it." It was some years later, this pastor was calling a business, looking for some help with something they needed done at church. And as he was talking to the woman on the phone, he discovered that this woman had a mother who had been Jewish but had become a Christian. And she had shared the faith with her siblings, her children, and they'd shared it with their grandchildren, and the word of God had spread. This talent, this gospel entrusted this pastor, he shared with someone else, and it went out and made five more talents. He didn't even know. What an amazing and blessed thing. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us be bold and confident and faithful and generous, because our Lord was bold and confident and faithful and generous, and he has not and does not withhold his forgiveness and his life and his salvation from you. He has you here today to give you those same gifts again, to entrust them to you, not for you to hide away, but rather for you to live by and to share and to give to others. I know what I want to hear when my Master comes again. I want to hear again his word of forgiveness and his word of love, and the word that rejoices in that gospel that is given and is shared. Well done, good and faithful servant. May God lead us to share what is given. May he forgive us for our failures. May he make us ready and generous with the grace that is entrusted to us. For the grace of God is lavish and generous, and what matters in this life is to live by that grace and that mercy. Everything flows from that, from the life rooted and planted in Christ. If we have Christ, we have everything. And without Christ, we have nothing. Our Lord is coming again. The day of the Lord will come. It is not a day that we should dread. It is a day we should anticipate. It is not an accounting that we should be afraid of, but rather, it should be with joy that we share with our Lord what he has given to us. Think of the last day not as a day where your boss is showing up, wondering what you've done, but as a child speaking to a parent about the joys of their life that day and what they have done. "Look what I did, Dad. Look what I've done. Here are all the things from my life that I have to share with you. Our Father in heaven loves you, and he looks forward to you sharing with him what you have done with this gospel, and the impact it has made on your life and on others. We know the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever.
Amen.
That is the word he entrusts to us. That is the word that plants itself in your life now. That is the word that is watered and rooted and grows and bears fruit. We are not a people walking in darkness. You have seen the light of Christ. You know the heart of God. You have heard his promise. The grace of God and the future that that grace brings is even now unfolding. So be ready, dear friends. Be ready when he returns for a greater outpouring of grace still, and for the sharing of what that grace has done in our world and in our lives. Our Lord Jesus Christ is what we need, and he is coming again in glory, not as a hard and cruel master, but as one who is joyous and generous and lavish and faithful and full of love. And your confidence is in him, and your joyful response is from the joy that he shows to you. And the grace that you share is because of the grace that has been given. We are ready to live in his grace, and we are ready for this grace to flow through us. And so we pray for his help. As you give us your grace, Lord, let it be at work in our lives, and may we be the channel by which your grace comes to others, that they too may know your love and kneel with us, beloved sinners, and be numbered among your kingdom. This grace is the currency of our lives, and when he comes again, we will be ready to settle up and to enter into the eternal joy of our Master, because we know his love. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those weighed down by guilt and shame, that God would not enter into judgment with his servants, but faithfully convince them of grace and holiness for them in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pastors, that God would strengthen them to meditate on all he has done and proclaim his word in its truth and purity, and that God's good spirit may lead us on level ground, holy and righteous before him, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our living nativity, that the Lord would unite us in his work, provide all that we need for this year,
and use it to make his salvation in Jesus Christ known. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are single, widows and widowers, and our families, that as children of the day, we may be blessed to learn the Father's ways and stand clothed in the armor of his faith, love, and salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for the bold witness of Bishop Poyala and Dr. Reisenen, and for their recent acquittal, that through their steadfastness, many would come to know the truth and to trust in God's mercy in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are afflicted and in need, including Louise, Agatha, Judy, Amara, Hattie, Jackie, Blair, Dick, Audrey, Peter, Aaron Kate, Nancy, Ted, Gwen, Gino and Linda, Rick, Karen, and with thanksgiving for the care of Donna, that for Christ's sake, God would show mercy to them and bring their souls out of trouble. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the homebound, including Anita, Georgia, Barbara, Ruth, Ed, Rick, Jeanette, and Andrea, that they may spend their days as faithful children, trusting in the Lord's goodness and remembering with thankfulness his mercies, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a right reception of Christ's body and blood, that since he has destined us not for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, God would give us penitent hearts that welcome his grace and salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For God's kindness to our sister Karen, and to those who have died in faith, let us give thanks to the Lord, and that he would comfort all who mourn, especially Al and Evelyn, Diane, and Rich and Denise, with the assurance that whether we are awake or asleep, Christ has died that we might live with him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
God of grace, preserve us from the temptation to consider you a hard and unmerciful master. Keep us mindful that you give us every good thing in abundance, most of all a place in your household. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. In the communion of your saints, gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 90, starting at the ninth verse. A prayer of Moses, a man of God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. All our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but a toll and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Make us glad that many days as you have afflicted us, and for many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to your children. Let the flavor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
Thank you. Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.